When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Record Rangers podcast. My name is Gavin Berry. I'm delighted to see you. Once again, I'm joined by the Sunday Mail's chief football writer, Scott McDermott, and the Daily Record's Andy Newport. Andy, let's start with you because I've been, well, welcome back. First of all, I've been following you on social media. You go away, you miss three games, and Rangers fail to win any of them. They come back.
In fact, the title race is over.
That's what I was going to say. So you left and Rangers were in pole position. You come back and Rangers had failed to win three in three league games, and they suddenly find themselves three points behind and five goals behind.
I'll leave you in charge for a couple of weeks and see what happens.
A jest, of course, but I have been following you on social media. You were away in South America, weren't you? A dream trip, and that was for your 21st, yeah? a dream trip taking in games in Rio and Buenos Aires and everything else. Tell us a wee bit about it, just to kick off.
Dream trip, not sure the missus would say the same. I was away for 12 days, so that got a wee bit of making up to do since I've come home. It was an incredible trip. Me and a couple of pals went, been planning this for a few years. We turned the big 4-0 this year, so we decided we were going to have a ultimate boys trip to Rio. The initial plan had to be and go and see Rio and Buenos Aires, sorry. The initial plan had to go and see a Super Clásico, a Boca, a River game, but unfortunately, the dates didn't quite coincide. There was just one at the weekend there, which was quite gutting. The week we get back, they ended up playing each other in a neutral venue because of they drew each other in a cup competition. So we're a bit gutted to have got our schedule in a week out. But incredible. We went to 5 days in Rio, went to the Maracanã to see a Brazilian cup final involving Flamengo, obviously one of the bigger teams in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Which was nuts. It was a second leg, so they're already 3-0 up. So it didn't have the sort of drama of the football drama, but just the sights and the colours and the sounds and the crowd were incredible. And then after that, we moved on to Buenos Aires and we managed to fit in four games over there. Went to Bombonera to see Boca, El Monumental to see River Plate, went to see Racing Club, who Celtic fans will remember as a team that they played in the 1967 Intercontinental Cup final. Yep. And also went to see Huracán, which is another sort of one of the big Buenos Aires sides. Also fitted in a wee stadium tour of Argentinos Juniors, who was, people remember, Maradona's first club.
Yeah. And you went
to the corner for his first house. The first house that he owned, mm-hmm. just around the corner from the stadium, so we had a wee look in there as well. So a great trip, you know, one of these things that, you know, that we'll get the chance to do again, but, you know, just incredible. And, you know, just, I mean, we all talk about the atmosphere in Scotland between games, Rangers and Celtic, and mm-hmm. Ibrox and Celtic Park, and think that they're pretty special occasions, but I've got to say, I mean, over there is just another level. I mean, mm-hmm. even for some of the grounds that were half full, like Racing and Huracán. The Huracán game was played basically during a sort of torrential downpour, but mm-hmm. the noise there was incredible. And I must say, like River Plate and Boca, they were just sort of bog standard, sort of, they were sort of South American international competitions, the Libertadores and the Copa Super Sudamerica. They were just sort of bog standard group games, but the noise levels were.
Yeah.
Incredible for the full 90 minutes. So, you know, incredible spectacle. And I would encourage MD if they can get over there to go and do it. I mean, you know, it's pretty affordable. The flights are obviously are dear. Mm-hmm. But once you're over there, it's pretty affordable. Mm-hmm. Pints, you'll get a pint in Brazil for £2. You'll get a pint in Buenos Aires for £3. And And then the steaks, you know, if you like a good steak, then you need to get yourself to Argentina because it's incredible, another level.
And you didn't go and see Morelos play? No, I was going to say, did you go and see Morelos play? You probably wouldn't because you can't get a game.
Santos is a wee bit, I think it's a wee bit away. That's the incredible thing about it is it's just the size and the scale of both countries. And, you know, when we were trying to arrange the trip, we were discussing how we were going to get from Rio to Buenos Aires. And at one point we thought we could just get a bus or a train or something like that. The train was a 24-hour train journey, so no, we ended up getting a flight. But yeah, you know, we did think about perhaps going to a trip to see Santos just because that would have been obviously where Pele played as well. We could do the Pele Maradona double, but no, the distances were a bit primitive. And to be honest, yeah, I was sitting a couple of days after Buenos Aires in Rio, so traveling was probably the worst last thing I wanted to do. We had far too many Brahmas and Quilmes when we were over there, so.
Great.
My movements carefully.
Great. And I think you're working on a piece, aren't you, about your experience? So we're looking forward to reading that online and in the paper. So that'll be good. So let's get back to Rangers business. You did return, and you returned to Hampden. So you were the guy that brought the good luck back after three games.
The last days, I'll take a payment off of James Bisgrove. Then, if he wants to have me at every game, then he can weigh me in for that.
Three games without a win, I'm sure even all those thousands of miles that you were away, you would have realised the pressure that was building after those three games without a win. And Philip Clement went into the game obviously on Sunday, desperately in need of a win, and got it. How did you find it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the pressure was on. I thought having Mohamed Diamandé back in the midfield made a huge difference just to the tempo that Rangers could play. I think he's so important to the Rangers' ability to win the ball back. And you know, I think you saw that in the Dundee game, just that Rangers had a real trouble sort of getting hold of the ball at times. You know, Dundee gave them, you know, a real match for them at Dens. And I think that was a lot of time because Rangers didn't have secure possession of the ball. And I thought you saw on Sunday just having Diamandé back in there, his ability to win, he's as vital to this Rangers team going back the way as he is going forward. And I thought you saw that huge difference in the first 20 minutes. And you obviously get the goal. I think it was the start that every Rangers fan would have been looking for at the weekend. Just, you know, front foot, playing with a tempo, everything that they hadn't done at Dens, they kind of came off it a wee bit. I must say, I was disappointed with Hearts. I just thought that they never really got at Rangers. You know, obviously the big call before the game was dropping Conor Goldson. They're bringing in Liam Balogun, hadn't played for a couple of months. You thought, you know, perhaps there was a vulnerability there. They really had to try and test the Rangers centre-backs, but they just never did that at all. But in saying that, I didn't think Rangers were particularly good for that sort of middle spell of the game. And then obviously, I think they took command again, sort of last sort of 15-20, obviously get the goal. And then by that point, Hearts were throwing bodies forward, and Rangers really should have won by more than they were. Obviously missed a couple of huge chances late on. So, you know, listen, at this stage in the season, and given the way that results have meant for Rangers the last couple of weeks, I think that they had a win was basically all that was all important. If they could have got any kind of performance, that would have been great. But at this stage, it's just about getting results over the line. So, I think they can take heart from the first 20 minutes, the last 10-15 minutes, but you know, there's still plenty of work for Rangers to do this season if they're going to win a title and you know pick up another trophy after that by play cup win.
Yeah, because Andy's right, Scott. I mean, if Rangers lost that game, I mean, Clement would have really been under pressure, wouldn't he? Given the two. Particularly two previous results in the first half performance against Celtic. Andy talks about the big call being Balogun in for Goldson. What do you think now? I mean, the general feeling is there's no way Balogun can come back out of the team now that Clement's made that call. Can you see Goldson playing a part in any of the remaining games?
It's a good question, Gav. I probably can, to be honest. I mean,
so you think Suter will drop out?
It might sound ridiculous with five games to go and a title race, but Clement is renowned, as we know, for tinkering with the lineup and making changes. I could see the three of them almost kind of rotating for the last kind of five games. I heard Andy Halliday on the radio last night saying similar, and I tend to agree with him. If you're asking me, will Balogun and Souter be the defence for the next five games guaranteed? I'm not so sure. I don't think Goldson will just completely be omitted until the rest of the season. I mean, personally, I think that there's an argument to say that he probably should, because I think he's been poor.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's been really poor the last couple of months. And I actually wasn't surprised that he dropped out on Sunday. I had a feeling Clement would do something mm-hmm. fairly drastic, and I thought that it might be that. The thing is, Gav, I actually don't think Souter's playing that well either.
No, he was sloppy on Sunday, though. The
50
minutes at the start of the second half, terrible.
Yep, it was very, very ropey for a spell. So, as I say, I don't think Goldson or Souter has been playing particularly well over this kind of last month or so, where Rangers have found it difficult and let things slip. So it could have been any of them that dropped out, and that's why I think there's still a possibility that no Goldson. Because I think arguably, Andy will correct me if I'm wrong, but when Rangers had a really good spell this season, I think it was with Goldson and Balogun as the pairing. And people were saying that that's the way to go. So I can see, listen, there's only five games, but including the cup final and six games. So, it might not change too much, but I definitely think Goldson will still have a part to play.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Balogun will really come out of the team. There's two factors, really. He obviously gets the head knock against Livingston that ruled him out for a couple of weeks.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, he wasn't included in the European squad.
Yeah.
Just because of the number of picks. And they had to go with Souter on the basis that he was Scottish.
To
fill that UEFA compliment. So he was, I think, had it not been for that, I think you would have seen Balogun play alongside Goldson far more often. I agree with Scott. I mean, I think you might be beginning to see the start of Conor Goldson's sort of, I don't know if regression is the right word, but he's 31 now. He certainly looked tired, leggy the last month. Whether you say that's him starting to, a downward decline, or if he's just tired and he just needs a break. I mean, he does play. I mean, I think I looked up when I was at the game on Sunday, and so I think Rangers have played 344 games since he signed. Uh-huh. And Goldson's played 312 of those. And that includes, he missed 10 games through injury last year after that knee injury picked up against Liverpool. So if you imagine, he probably played all of those. So I mean, you look at a guy that basically misses a handful of games a season only because he's been rested. I mean, for me, that was the first time he's ever been dropped or based on form since he's come to the club. So it's a difficult one to assess whether or not this is him, is this him, reaching, the beginning of the end of his career in terms of his ability to play at Rangers at the highest level, or does he just need a break? I mean, I think you've got to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I think Conor Goldson, on the whole, has been a fantastic servant for Rangers. So, perhaps maybe just a couple of weeks out of the team might just do the world of good, might just given the wee sort of kick up the backside perhaps he needs as well. So I would not be surprised to see him back in the team before the end of the season. I tend to think maybe going to St Mirren, it's a tricky away venue. Rangers, they've got an okay record there, but they never seem to really enjoy going to Smyzer Stadium. I can't ever really remember going and seeing a Rangers performance there that was emphatic or dominant. It's always a battle, it's always a grind. So I tend to think maybe given that, Clement might just stick by Balogun for this weekend. But if you're talking about looking further ahead, and especially that Old Firm game, I still think that, you know, Conor Golson's get a lot to offer this Rangers side, so I wouldn't be surprised at all if he comes back in.
Because, Scott, I mean, you're saying that, you know, Clement is renowned for rotating and all that, and we have seen that in recent weeks that he's done that. But the difference here, surely, is that this was very much Conor Goldson, a mainstay, being dropped.
Oh, of course.
Because of poor form. I mean, that's the difference here. It's a big one. And I know he dressed up as being rested, inverted commas, and he's saying he would actually have done it earlier. He would have done it for the Dundee game had Balogh not been sick. But that's a big call. That's somebody being dropped. That's not rotating.
Oh, it's a huge call, especially in a game of that magnitude. And you're right. Man, I'm not buying this line about he was going to rest him during the week and couldn't do it, so he just done it. I mean, you don't normally make those big... You don't rest somebody for the big Hampden semi-final. Do you know what I mean? One of your main players. And you're right, that is why it's a big call, because as much as I'm saying Clement rotates, he's rotated pretty much since he arrived, but effectively the three players that haven't been rotated are Tavernier, Goldson and Lundstrom. They three have always been the mainstays, but I genuinely think just the form of Goldson, it was so striking, in terms of just how much that form had dipped, the form that he's kind of renowned for.
Yeah,
in those games against particularly Dundee and Ross County, I just think Clement had to do something. And listen, they get a clean sheet. Balogun was excellent. I thought they looked a lot more secure in general. I thought they looked a lot more secure, structurally behind the ball. They didn't give away as many chances or as many counter-attack opportunities to Hearts, which I think has been a major issue this last month or so. So all in all, you need to say it was the right decision. But yeah, I mean, it's probably the first major call Clement has made in terms of one of the main players. I mean, Andy's right. Goldson's never been dropped. And I was trying to think in my head of a kind of similar kind of situation. And I'm going way back to the one that came to mind, Gav, was years ago when Graham Souness dropped Terry Butcher. You remember? And ultimately that was the kind of beginning of the end for Butcher's Rangers career. Souness made a huge decision and dropped him, and he never really got back in. There was a fallout. So it's going to be really interesting. I mean, Andy will be able to tell. I mean, Goldson, it's not that long ago he signed a new deal. So he's going to have a couple of years left on his contract. So, I mean, if this is the beginning of the end, then that becomes an issue as well. Can you sell him? How much are you going to get for him at his age? It's certainly opened a can of worms. Now, Clement will play it down, I've no doubt. He'll either bring him back in or he'll seriously play it down between now and the end of the season, maybe saying he just needs a rest, still part of the plan, still a major player as vice-captain. Yeah. I think the bigger picture is that if you're Conor Goldson and you kind of sense what's coming and you think you're going to be maybe a bit part player under Clement for the next couple of years, then that becomes a bigger issue.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Andy, Cyril Dessers was the hero. Two goals, sets up the first Old Firm Scottish Cup final for 22 years ago. It's unbelievable, isn't it? There's actually not been that many. There's big gaps from Old Firm finals. I think the one in 1999 was the first one in about 10 years as well. At that time, I know, and then they played again in 2002, which was the last one. Dessers the hero, two goals. Then, of course, he's just as great enigma, isn't he? But then after it, I think you spoke to him and he then roars, "We're the best team in the country if we get a rhythm." So that's the kind of comment that might be pinned up on an opposition dressing room wall. Did they actually do that? Well, they actually, but you know what I mean? Was it Was it ill-advised? Was he right to say it because he believes it? What did you think?
Well, I think what you're trying to say is when we are at our best, Rangers are the best team in Scotland, and I think you can look at results and go, well, the period from when Clement came in until, let's say, before the Old Firm game, and that was probably true. But the trouble is the last 2 weeks, they've been nowhere near their best. And when they're like that, then they clearly aren't. So yeah, I mean, listen, it's all very well and good him saying that. It's words, it's not time for words now, it's time for deeds and action. So, you know, the Rangers have got a huge uphill battle to get themselves back in this title race. I mean, yeah, of course, it's only 3 points, but they're running out of time. Got to go to Parkhead, a place that they haven't won for, I'm trying to think when the last time they won at Parkhead, would that have been the... season, so you're about 2-3 years now since they won there. Obviously, they got to go there with no fans and win something they haven't done. So, listen, it's a huge ask of this Rangers team now. You know, they're in a great position, as you were saying at the start of the pod. I mean, you know, you could have went in that Old Firm game and a victory there would have taken 5 clear, and then at that point, you're thinking that they would have been halfway home. Now it looks like it's Celtic's title to lose. So, was it ill-advised? No, I mean, I just think, listen, all footballers are going to talk up their own team, and I think there is some evidence to show that when they were playing at their best, and yeah, that's an argument they can make. But as I say, that they've been well short of that the last couple of weeks, and in the day, you know, titles aren't handed out in April. Usually, most of the time, they're handed out in May, and this Rangers team haven't managed to get themselves across the line. Yeah.
Well, as you say, Andy, the one game where they had to be at their best was the Old Firm game at Ibrox, and they didn't turn up. And that's the problem with this Rangers team. I mean, that Old Firm game at Ibrox, I mean, they didn't just no win it. I mean, the first half performance was appalling. I mean, it was like, literally didn't turn up. And that's why I think Dessel saying stuff like that probably is ill-advised, because we've heard it so many times in the last 4 or 5 years for this. I know he's not been part of it, but for this kind of core group of players and from the club in general. But ultimately, when it's really mattered, they haven't turned up. And that's the problem.
And do you think, Scott, that it is purely mentality, or is there an argument to say that it's just that it's quality and they just lack the quality?
I think there's two sides. I think it can be both. I think, well, Rangers, when they're at their best, as Dessel say, can be a really good team. But I still think if Celtic are at their best, they're better. I think they play with more tempo, more urgency, quicker.
Yeah.
I think they've got players who deliver on the big occasions. You know, your McGregors, your Kyogos, your Hatatis, people like that. So I think when the two of them are at their best, Celtic are still ahead of them. But Rangers still had pretty much had the title in their grasp, and they've let it slip. That's the kind of football inside it in terms of the quality. But 100%, to me, mentality is a major issue. And just as I touched on there, when you're getting into an Old Firm game at Ibrox, 50,000 of your own fans, no away fans, the Celtic captain's no playing, you've got a chance to, as Andy says, take a proper grip of the kind of destiny of the title, knowing that if you win that and then win your next couple of games, you can go to Parkhead and lose and still win the league. Knowing what was at stake for those Rangers players to produce that type of performance in the first half, to me, is totally down to mentality. People say, even talking about the first goal, that they gifted Celtic, Rangers have gifted Celtic so many goals in Old Firm games in the last few years. People will say, maybe Butland should have come out, or Celtic got lucky with the way the ball hit Maida. No, that was purely down to mentality, how Rangers started that game. Lackadaisical, slow, lethargic, Tavernier jogging back. That's a mentality. issue. Yeah. I mean, honestly, against Celtic in the first half, and then in the two games where they had to go and win at Ross County and Dens, this team who, for a period of the season, were so good in getting themselves into the title race, suddenly had lead in their boots. They couldn't move, couldn't press, couldn't run. To me, that's a mentality issue where you know the heat is on, you know the pressure's on, and suddenly you can't deliver. Now, I'm saying that now, if they somehow can claw themselves back into this and go to Celtic Park and win, I'll hold my hands up and say, listen, that kind of character is incredible. But I have to say, I just can't see that happening.
I actually agree with you, Scott, and especially the way they ended the game against Celtic. You know, to get out of jail that bit and escape with a 3-3 on the high, that you think, well, they go into the Ross County game, we got away with one there, let's go. But just to play devil's advocate, because I have seen the sort of counter argument, is that basically this team has punched well above its weight since Clement came in, and that they've overperformed, and that really what happened was almost inevitable, that sort of that wobble.
If Rangers were to win the title with having played for a long spell of the season with Sam Lammers as the number 10, with Cyril Dessers as a main striker, I think you can't sit here and say that they haven't overperformed, because, I think we all agree that Dessers is probably, try to choose my words carefully here, but he's the least impressive starting centre forward Rangers or Celtic have had for a long, long time. So if they were to win a title with that, I think that would speak volumes about the level of competition this season. But I tend to agree with Scott in terms of mentality. I mean, it's one thing, get help, strange things happen in Old Firm games. It's the nature of the fixture.
Yeah.
But to then follow that up with an absolute shocker at Ross County, and then a performance that I thought was arguably even worse at Dens, just the lack of urgency in that performance. Yeah. When there's a title on the line, just to go through the motions as they did, to be playing these sort of just harmless, passive, sideways passes across the back four time and time again without any incision, I just thought spoke volumes about where this team's at mentally, its ability just to go to the well and get results. I just thought that I think that will have sounded some major alarm bells for Fluke Clement, because it, end of the day, I mean, you could be looking at another four centre-backs having to come in the summer. You get several midfielders having to come in. They're going to need a whole new front line again in the summer. I mean, this team's going to need major surgery, and I think the manager's getting, you're looking at guys that are going to, does John Lundstrom get another contract? And we've seen the comments from the manager this week saying, there's a lot of love on both sides. But, I think there's an argument that there's, there was Michael Beale spoke about a refurbishment, an overhaul of the squad last summer. I think there's arguably as big a turnover required this summer as well. So, and I think those kind of performances will figure largely in the manager's thinking as he goes to make those changes.
I don't think, Gav, just to get back to your point about overperform, I don't think you can say any Rangers team is overperformed because they beat all the other teams in the league. I mean, that should be a given for Rangers.
But this team clearly wasn't. But that's the point, is that they were 7 points behind when Philip Clement came in. So obviously these players were not up to the task, which they then managed under Clement, to go on that stretch of run.
They just did under Clement what they should have been doing under Beale. I mean, the money that's been spent on this Rangers team and the quality of player that's been brought in compared to every other team in the Premiership, they should be going in long winning runs. I mean, that's no overperforming. Overperforming would be if they went and beat Celtic a couple of times, which they cannot do at the minute. And that's why I say, I just look at this Old Firm game at Celtic Park and I mean, I've heard Rangers fans saying, I think they'll go and get a result and all that. I mean, I just don't see any evidence of that. Yeah. I mean, watching this team this club going to Celtic Park. And they say that, I mean, the last time they won there, it was with no fans there, the COVID season, Connor Goldson scores twice.
Yeah.
The previous time was the Katic winner under Steven Gerrard. You're talking, that was 5 years ago, that was 2019.
Yeah.
I think they've been there six times since the Goldson game.
Yeah.
Haven't won any.
Yeah.
They're notoriously bad starters at Celtic Park, you know, despite knowing that Celtic fly out the traps, you know, yeah, the atmosphere and the fans behind them. Honestly, I mean, they will need to defy all the odds to go there and get a result in those circumstances. And by the way, that's not to say they'll not produce a performance, but like the last few, will it be a performance when they're already two down and they suddenly start playing in the second half and they get it back to 2-1 and they get some plaudits after the game for how they played? That's no use.
Yeah.
No, they need to start the game well on the front foot. They need to be rock solid at the back, you know, watertight in terms of keeping Celtic out, because Celtic will go for their throats. That's just what they do. They know there's a vulnerability there.
Yeah.
Can this Rangers team handle that? I'm not sure they can. And I think if they don't, and this will already be in Philippe Clement's mind, and Andy's kind of touched on it, he will know that big changes need to happen in the summer. Now, he can't come out and say that just now. He's got to back these players to the hilt, because he's got to get a tune at them in the last five or six games. And that's why he didn't throw him under the bus after Dens Park or Ross County, because he needs them. No, he needs them to play for him in this last part of the season. But I'm convinced, I mean, this is a guy that demands success. He's used to winning titles. You can sense, no, he's got the mentality. And I just wonder whether he knows now that a few of them in the dressing room don't have it. And come the summer, that's why I think he'll want to bring his own players in.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay, right. I think we've covered pretty much everything that we need to. So thanks a lot. Welcome back, Andy. Thanks again, Scott. We'll see how it goes at Paisley on Sunday. Of course, Rangers have the chance to go level in points with Celtic with the early game before Celtic go to Dens Park later. So it's a chance for them to put a bit of pressure on. And I think that's the case in a few of the post-split games. So I suppose that mentality question will come up again. So we'll see how that goes. Then we can reconvene next week. Thanks a lot for your time, boys. Thanks a lot for listening.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Bye.